Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Happy Friday, Nashville. Willie and D-Mace. Jake Lyman in for Willie Donick today. Joined by Derek Mason here in studio. Nick Frazier making it happen behind the glass. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Guys, how are we doing on this Friday? Excited to be in with you to wrap up the week.
Hey, I'm excited to have you here, man. It's been a musical chairs, but I've had two great people to sort of fill those chairs while Willie's out. So I thank you, Jake, for coming in and filling in today. We had Adam for, you know, the last 4 days. So yeah, it's great to have people in that chair that have a pulse of the city and know what's going on in regards to sports. So I'm happy to have you in Willie's seat.
Well, glad to be in here. Glad, you know, Willie took a little vacation, yeah, getting ready for football and hockey season, and get a chance to get in here with you on this Friday. We've got a lot to get to in the show today. Ask D-Mace coming up at noon. You can get your questions in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Again, that's coming up at noon. We also will have Take It to the Bank at 1:45. Lots of Titans talk today as well. But D-Mace, before we got on here, we were inspired by Chase's trivia question about the first ever Notre Dame draft pick, which was Bill Shakespeare. And we've been going through the all-name team in college football, and there are so many good ones on here this year. We've got real-life college football coming up in 8 days, like, yes, meaningful college football games. But going through this all-name team, some of the ones that we were talking about, my favorite one, former Nebraska wide receiver, now at Louisiana Tech, Dakoldest to ever do it Crawford.
And I asked
that's
Jake,
a
I
real said, name?
That, said, that is his real
is
name.
Is that one, like, word together, like, Dakoldest to ever do it, or is it two? And then Jake explained, well, Dakoldest is his first name. To ever do it is his middle,
yep,
name. I'm like, who does that to a kid? Like, seriously.
But we were saying, if it works out and he ends up in the NFL, like,
oh man,
his mom called it.
Yeah.
He is the coldest to ever do it, Crawford. there's so many good ones. General Booty is one that always gets talked about. Former Oklahoma quarterback. He's now at Louisiana Monroe. Rowdy Beers.
Yeah.
I believe he is at Minnesota now, if I'm not. This says FIU online, but I think he's at Minnesota now. So many good ones. Fat Watts, wide receiver at Tulane.
Fat Watts.
Demon Clowney. I'm not sure if there's relation to Jadavion there, but Demon Clowney is a defensive lineman at Charlotte.
Okay.
Storm Duck, safety at Louisville. So many good names. Wait, this is a good one. Mobility.
Oh, whoa.
Quarterback at Rice. Mobility.
Okay, so his first name is M-O.
M-O-H, yes.
M-O-H. Ability.
Mobility. Yes.
Why? Why do you do that to your kids?
Listen,
that makes no sense.
I want to tell, and listen, all parents out there, due to Herm Edwards, okay? Herm Edwards says, when you send out a tweet or an X now,
yeah,
think about it for a second. Think about it. You know, think about it. Read it yourself. Think about it. You may even want to counsel with somebody else. Get somebody else's counsel and an opinion before you do that. That's what Herm says. And then if everything's okay, send the tweet or send the X.
And that's just for a tweet.
Parent, listen, when you're naming your kid, please consult with other people, not just the person right next to you, your husband or your boyfriend or your whoever. Consult with the doctors. Consult with family members, but don't just take it upon yourself to name your kid Mo, M-O-H, Billity, okay? Don't do that. Or General Booty. Don't do that, because your kids will not like you when they get older and they get made fun of in middle school, elementary, and in high school.
But General Booty, yes, if he wasn't the star quarterback of his team. He might have had some issues in high school. I'm sure he was okay. But, yeah, I don't understand it. I think maybe you should need to get, like, a third-party approval before you – because
yeah.
What I've always been told is you're not naming a kid. It's not like a cute little puppy. You're naming the adult.
Exactly.
This 40-year-old man has to go into his job as mobility in the future or the coldest. Hi, I'd like to sell you a car. My name is the coldest Crawford. Like, if he didn't turn out to be a football player, like, he's got to go into his office job as Rowdy Beers.
Or Storm Duck.
Storm Duck.
Seriously,
Storm Duck, former North Carolina safety, now at Louisville. But yeah, he's been on the all name team for about half a decade now.
Yeah,
he migrated.
This is just like parents. I know y'all try, especially the younger parents. Like parents now, even though parents back in my day named their kids crazy names too. But now it just seems so prevalent. They name the kids blue, yellow, orange, pink, gray, asphalt. Sky, cloud. I mean, all these names that when your kid look back on it, they're going to be asking you, Mom, Dad, what were y'all thinking?
And all of these college football players, again, they're probably fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And it honestly is probably kind of cool for them. They get this attention of being on the all-name team. But imagine how many people out there with these names aren't on a college football team, and they've just got to live with that. We've got people on our text line chiming in with some names. I was trying to think of this one, and thank you, Ben, for texting in. Duke has a player named Memorable Factor. I knew that there was a name, something like that. Memorable Factor is on Duke.
Oh, my goodness.
David in Arkansas says his last name is Key, and he always jokes that boy or girl spelled differently, he was going to name his kid Don. Don Key.
Don't do that to your kid, please.
My parents always joked that I was going to be Simon Lyman. That was that.
You would have rhymed though.
That's what people would ask, like, "Oh, it's a boy. What are you going to name it?" And my parents would go, "Oh, he's going to be Simon," and just see what their reaction was. Simon Lyman. Michael in Madison says the coldest Crawford got an NIL deal with a refrigeration company.
I'm sure he did. I mean, absolutely,
he should. He should.
I go it's for a fitting. Cold plunge. Give me exactly. One of them ice buckets.
Give me something that has to do with something being cold.
Yeah.
Like, give me an ice, some type of ice cream endorsement. Company.
Oh, ice cream endorsement.
I'm sure the options are limitless for the coldest Crawford.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, our fridges are the coldest. Just there you go.
There you go, right? And he come popping out the refrigerator?
That's a jackpot right there.
So many different NIL deals probably froze his bank account.
Ruston, Louisiana.
That was a good one, Nick.
It is Dad Joke Friday.
I've dropped two in the first segment.
The migration one with Storm Duck was solid, too. The coldest Ruston, Louisiana refrigeration companies, you're missing out if you haven't already jumped on this. So there's our all-name team for college football. Again, we are a week away from real college football, even though if Florida State, Georgia Tech, and SMU Nevada doesn't get you going, I don't know what to tell you because – It's going to be meaningful college football games played a week from tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then we get a full slate in 2 weeks with a lot of good games in week one. We'll talk some college football throughout the show, but I think we're going to spend most of our time here on the Titans going over those joint practices with the Seahawks the last 2 days. Won't see the starters tomorrow in the preseason game. They got all their work in over the last two joint practices with the Seahawks. But Derek, a lot's been made about the offense's performance over these last 2 days. And Will Levis throwing the interception on the first play of the two-minute drill yesterday. Wasn't able to get on the same page with Calvin Ridley. It's just joint practices.
Yeah.
No real games have been played yet. But is there reason for concern that against a Seahawks team that is maybe not expected to be a playoff contender, that the Titans didn't look very good over the last 2 days in the joint practice?
Well, Seattle's defense, I think, is going to be pretty good. Now, last year, Seattle just missed the playoffs. I think they end up 9-8, somewhere around there. And they just had a lot going on. I think their defense is much better this season. I'm not sure how their offense is because I didn't get a chance to look at their offense when I was out there. But from a defensive standpoint, man, they have two really good corners.
Yep.
That defensive interior line is pretty good. And they got a safety that is an up-and-coming safety in this league. So this defense, I think, is going to be the strength of Seattle's team. Well, we know that the Titans' offense is not a strength. It hasn't been a strength for the previous two seasons.
Since they were 7-3 coming out of Green Bay.
Exactly. That's the last time they seemed to show anything in regards to an offense. Now, they got some, they have players, D-Hop, Ridley, and all those guys, but those guys wasn't here last year. Only one that was here was D-Hop and Derrick Henry. Henry's since gone to Baltimore. But this offense, I am not going to panic.
Yeah.
Because I know how it is when you're learning a new offense, especially in a situation like this. I experienced it coming from here, going to Baltimore, but the difference was the collective bargaining was such that we got a lot of time during the offseason. There wasn't this, you only get to spend X amount of days and, you know, you can only be in there. You know, it was just it was a little bit more laxed in the sense of the league not controlling when we're in there and when we're not. Even though they did, there was mandate, hey, you can only be there a certain amount of time. Yeah.
Like for instance, we've seen Will Levis take all his receivers out to Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Instead of at the facility where you're limited at the days that you can go.
Exactly. So you tend to do those things. So when I went off to Baltimore, you know, got signed, I think, in right around free agency. So that's what?
March, April.
Somewhere around there. So I was there working out with them in a matter of a week or two. So we had a lot of time, and then we had a lot of OTA days because we had more OTA days than they do now. And the emphasis was put on getting the team together, making sure, you know, we have those days built up and in the coffer. So when we do start camp, we're hitting the ground running. Well, now they don't have that because they only get an opportunity to spend so many days together, and you can't build the rapport that you need in this league if you only get, say, 20 days, 25 days together. You can't beat it. So that's why quarterbacks, even though they were doing it then, but that's why quarterbacks now take guys, you know, take a group of guys to California or some other place, or like you said, they're working at Vanderbilt or one of these other local schools around here, because time on task, which I talk about a lot, time on task is really critical in two areas. One, the offensive line, because the longer they're together, the better they are. And then the rapport with the receivers and the quarterback, going over the plays, working it as if we're in a game. It's one thing to work it individually on somebody else's field and getting to work it. It's another working it in practice against a defense, and you get to see how things may show up or things may not show up. It's easy to write it up on a board, but then you get on the field, it may not be exactly how we wrote it up on a board. So we got to improvise.
And the two probably biggest changes that we've seen for the Titans this year came on the offensive line and the wide receiver group. They pretty much revamped the entire offensive line. The only returning starter who at least started most of last season's games is Peter Skoronski. So those guys are still trying to feel each other out, and I kind of hope that we see Dylan Radins and NPF play at least a series tomorrow.
I think that I'm hoping they would. I got a feeling they will, because those are guys they need to continue to see progress from. You guys like that, just because they had a joint practice with Seattle doesn't mean guys like that still shouldn't play. They need to play. Time on task, they need to be out there as much as they physically possibly can.
Especially because NPF missed the entire offseason program, the first week and a half, 2 weeks of camp. Mm-hmm. He needs reps, live reps against real players, not just these practice reps. And I know that he probably got a good amount in the joint practices, but I think having Radins, NPF, Rupchich, all the guys who are kind of competing on that right side of the line, I think they all need to be out there tomorrow against Seattle.
Yeah, so that's why, to me, looking at this offense, and, you know, I heard Jared talking about it yesterday, and there are some legitimate concerns, and I'm not saying that, you know, Jared, you know, he's not, or that he's sort of being a little bit too critical. I don't think he is, but he also has to understand, too, it takes a minute for the offense to kind of get itself together. New offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach, new quarterback, essentially. You got three new wide receivers, basically, two new running backs. Well, really one, but two now that you are the starting guy.
Yeah, Spears in a different role
this year. Spears in a different role. So it's going to take time, but I am with Jared, you know, from the standpoint of, come on now, this thing needs to be sped up just a little bit, and it doesn't help when guys like, you know, D-Hop get injured. And I'm not saying that that's his fault, but it doesn't help the progress of the offense when D-Hop's not out there, Tyler Boyd's missing practice, Treylon Burks catching cramps at the end of practice and not being fully himself. It doesn't help when those guys are not there for you. It makes the offense, it makes the progress slow up just some. So should there be concern right now? No, but if you are concerned, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, don't worry about it. I'm not, Your concerns, what you see is valid, but know that this offense has a long way to go. They're going to be working on this offense even in the season.
For sure. And I think most Titans fans probably were cautiously optimistic heading into this year with the offense, with the upgrades that they made on the offensive line at wide receiver. I think you felt, hey, this should be a better team offensively with the new system as well. I think right now the cautious side is starting to take over. I'm starting to feel a little bit more shaky about whether this offense is going to be productive this year. And maybe it will be something that takes time. And maybe in September, the offense isn't quite where it needs to be. But maybe by October, November, we start to see Calvin Ridley and Will Levis really start to sync up. And we start to see the offensive line gel together. I don't think anybody expects the Titans to compete for a Super Bowl this year.
No.
It may be kind of a building year of, hey, these are the building blocks that we want to build around in the future. Mm-hmm. And this year could be how they kind of adapt to each other. And then next year they can hit the ground running and maybe be a contender. Maybe not for a Super Bowl, but start to get towards the top of the AFC again.
Well, but, I mean, listen, you know, Jake, just as well as I know, fans, patience don't go together. GMs. Patience sometimes don't go together, especially in this scenario. Because what we all have to understand is this: the other teams inside the AFC South seem to be getting better. It seems like they have their quarterback that they are set on. They're not looking for anybody else. They're not trying to figure out whether he's the guy. C.J. Stroud, they know he's the guy. Trevor Lawrence, they just paid him, so obviously they know he's the guy. Exactly. It seems like up in Indianapolis, they believe Richardson is the guy. We are the only team within that division that still has a question mark on whether Will Levis is the guy or not. So that's going to take some time. Getting these receivers on cue with the quarterback is going to take some time. So, people, this is going to be it's a marathon, but we all know in the world of football, people ain't patient. They want the sprint. They want you to get to the line of scrimmage. I mean, you don't want you to get to the finish line very quickly, and they want you to be first.
It's a what have you done for me lately?
Exactly. League. So if the Titans come out and they're going slow, which I anticipate. Now, if they come out and they hit the ground running, I will be surprised. I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
But if they come out and they struggle, I wouldn't be surprised at all, not one bit. It's just how they look when they struggle. That's what I'm wondering. If they look really, really bad, then I'm thinking, like, we got a problem here.
And you look at the Titans' schedule, I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't a great first 2 months of the season. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think you're playing too many Super Bowl contenders. I'd say like the Lions are probably the only team that I would put in that category that you play. But the Bills are a good team. The Packers are a good team. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins, the Jets. That's five of your first seven games, I believe. I think the Bears and the Colts are the only other two games in there. So maybe you start 3-4, 2-5. But towards the back end of the schedule, you get some of the rookie quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I believe you play Washington and Minnesota and New England. Maybe that allows the Titans to peak towards the end of the season. And, you know, that may not lead to a playoff spot, but it could lead to momentum heading into next year.
Yeah, it could. And listen, it's all about, you know, obviously you want to start off fast. But looking at, you know, their schedule, it's a daunting task, very.
For sure.
Because you're looking at a teams that, with the exception of the Lions, you're looking at teams that are predicted to go to the playoffs. All these teams are Jets. They're predicted to go to the playoffs. Packers, they're predicted. Dolphins. The Colts are probably the only team that's sort of on that bubble.
Yeah.
The Bills, the Lions.
It's a tough start to this schedule.
You got the Patriots. So you got two out of your first seven games, six or seven games, against playoff caliber or Super Bowl contending teams.
Yep. Yep. It's not going to be easy for this team. And I think if everything clicks together and Calvin Ridley and Will Levis figure it out and DeAndre Hopkins comes back at full strength and the offensive line plays really well, who knows? They could get out to a good start. But I think it's much more likely that it's a slow start, and hopefully the team peaks towards the end of the season. But we shall see. We shall see. I do want to mention before we take our first break here, the offense got a lot of attention at joint practices, as you would expect, with the young quarterback and the new wide receivers and the offensive line. But the good news on the defensive side, at least the reports coming out of practice the last 2 days, is the Titans controlled the line of scrimmage with Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat. I don't know if you've seen the video of Jeffrey Simmons hip-tossing Laken Tomlinson yesterday. I don't know how I missed it yesterday, but I just saw it while I was getting ready for the show. Oh, my goodness. He threw him like a rag doll. That is grown man strength from Jeffrey Simmons right there.
You know what a cartoon character, like they throw him out of the picture? That's what Jeffrey Simmons did.
I could not believe, because Laken Tomlinson, he was a former first-round pick out of Duke, I believe. Like, that is a big man that Jeffrey Simmons just threw to the side. And obviously, Tavondre Sweat continues to show promise as well. So excited about those two as a tandem on the defensive side. Obviously, the rest of the defense not really at full strength. Kenneth Murray wasn't out there. Legarius Sneed, Chidobe Awuzie. But at the very least, the Titans look like the interior of the defensive line is going to be very good. We're going to switch back to the offensive side of the ball when we come back. Treylon Burks, little scare at the end of Wednesday's practice with the cramps. But outside of that, two really good days against Seattle. He's shown a lot of promise. We're going to talk about Treylon Burks and what we hope to see from him in year three with the Titans. That's up next. You can text or call 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman in for Willie Donick. Willie and D-Mays, 1025-1063 The Game. Willie and D-Mays, 1025-1063 The Game. Jake Lyman in for Willie Donick. Today, Derek Mason, Nick Frazier. We're going to talk about Treylon Burks here. But we have some news coming across the presses during the break. Derek Mason, your high school alma mater has a new defensive coordinator, and it's none other than the notorious Connor Stallions who's taking over there. Unbelievable.
This is seriously? Like, they hired Connor Stallion as the defensive coordinator at Mumford High School to coach Detroit High School. Mumford High School, my old high school. I'm scrolling through Instagram because, you know, they have stories on there. It's just sometimes you know, little clips that people put out. And I can't believe this. They hire my alma mater, Detroit Mumford High School, go Mustangs. They hire Connor Stallion, and here's the headlines. Connor Stallion is the new defensive coordinator at Detroit Mumford High School. Breaking news. Wow. So, I mean, I don't know how to feel about this. I really don't.
I mean,
one, he's a Michigan guy.
Yeah, that is.
Two, he got caught cheating. It's like, how do you, as an alumni, feel about this?
Rival schools in the Detroit area better make sure their practices are locked down.
Oh, wow. Goodness. And he's not even a head coach. He's a defensive coordinator, I believe.
Yeah, I think that is what it said.
Yeah, he's the defensive coordinator. Wow, okay. So he has landed himself a defensive coordinator job at my alma mater, Detroit Mumford. Go Mustangs. Most famously known for being in the first Beverly Hills Cop. You know, extra Foley had on the Mumford High School shirt.
I didn't realize that. The phys ed shirt.
Yes, man. That's how we really got put on the map.
Have you seen the new one?
Oh, yeah. I loved it.
I have not seen the new one yet. I need to. My Netflix keeps locking me out, but I need to get on there.
Yeah, I loved the new one. I loved it. Took me back to the old ones, too, but I loved the new one. But, man, I can't believe this. Like, I don't know what's going on here. I'm going to have to call some people up there like, hey, what's going on here?
Your jersey retired up there, D-Mace?
I don't know if it is or not.
If it is,
it should be.
It should be, you know. But we have there are a lot of, you know, individuals that have come out of Mumford High School that have done really, really well. So, you know, if my name's not or my jersey's not retired, I mean, so be it, you know.
Just make sure Connor Stallions doesn't steal it.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to have to call Connor Stallions. Damn. He's the defensive coordinator. Now I got to like this fool.
Now,
I got to like him now, man. Gosh.
The reaction from D-Mace was so funny because you didn't realize it was your high school yet.
Yeah,
it's
I'm just
Connor Stallions is back. And then it's like, oh, no, it's my high school.
That's one of those things where you be riding down the street and you're like, man, that dog looked familiar, man. Whose dog is that out there running around all crazy? Then you get up close. Oh, that's my dog. Oh, my goodness. Let me get my dog and take him back in the house. That's basically how I felt with Connor Stallions. Like, oh, he got hired. Some crazy school hired him. Oh, damn. It was my school.
You guys are going to have to keep an eye on how Detroit Mumford does this season, how their defense does. Some of these rival schools, you better change your signs because Connor Stallions probably already has them at this point.
I'm going to put this out there. I know Willie's the commissioner's silly underdog picks, but no, D-Mace, you cannot pick them for your underdog picks.
Damn.
All right?
Dang it.
Because you picked Pearl Cone last year, and that happened, and I was like, wait a minute. Willie was all confused about it as well. So I'm just saying it for Willie himself because he's not here. Mm-hmm. No to a high school team.
I'm going to have to DM William McMichael, the head coach at Mumford. I have to DM him, you know, send him a DM. Like, dude, what's going on here? You know, did the program fall that low for y'all to have to hire Connor Stallion? I mean, he could be a good coach. I don't know. I really don't. But one, he had two strikes against him. He's a Michigan guy, and he got caught cheating. You got caught. Like, you ain't even doing it in such a way that you wasn't going to get caught. You got caught. Trying to wear sunglasses in that. They knew it was you.
The Central Michigan one is the best.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was the best. Yeah. Just sitting on, wasn't he sitting on something or
just on the side
walking around? Gosh, man. I'm sorry. I hijacked the show.
No,
I hijacked.
Breaking news.
I don't know what to say. I really don't. I'm baffled here. I hope the defense is good. I really do hope they're good because that'll be my saving grace. If this defense is still bad, oh, I'm going to be mad. I'm going to keep up with the Mumford Mustangs and see how far they go this season and see how good their defense is.
Yeah, again, breaking news. Connor Stallions back in coaching at Derrick's High School as the defensive coordinator now. Man. So that's something we're going to have to keep an eye on it throughout the year on how that defense does. If they turn out to be the best in the state, I think we know what Connor Stallions is doing behind
exactly.
the scenes.
Just don't get caught. Just don't get caught again, man. God.
Make sure you get your questions in for D-Mace. Ask D-Mace is coming up at the top of the hour, so we'll get to your questions. You can text or call 615-737-1025. And our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've gotten a few more all-name teams that have been thrown in here. Pig Cage from UTSA. Ben has texted in with that. Let's see. Bumper Pool from Arkansas. That's another good one. Bumper Pool. Smoke Monday from Auburn was always a good one. But I don't know if his name was actually Smoke. Or no, sorry. Yes, yeah, Smoke Monday, his name was actually Smoke. Smoke Mizell was a different player.
Okay.
That was a nickname. And then, of course, Kool-Aid McKinstry. How could we forget?
Oh, that's the best.
That's a great one.
But he was a player, though.
Yes.
Kool-Aid was a player. Kool-Aid. Oh, he is a player.
Is he a Detroit? Did they draft him?
The Lions, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Was he a first round or a second round
he
pick?
He was a second round pick. The Saints drafted him. Okay. That's what it was. So he is in New Orleans, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Keep texting in. If you got all name team players from college football, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's quickly get back into Titans here. We're going to spend the rest of the hour talking about Treylon Burks. And again, as Jared Stillman calls him, kind of the training camp all-star, the preseason all-star, this back-to-back years where if you go out there and watch him in practice, you feel like this dude's about to go off for a Pro Bowl season. But can he do it when the games actually start to matter? And I think my big question is, with the way the wide receiver core is constructed for the Titans, where, yes, Calvin Ridley's on a long-term deal, but DeAndre Hopkins is a free agent after this year, Tyler Boyd's a free agent after this year. If Treylon Burks doesn't prove that he is going to be a productive member of this wide receiver room, you pretty much just have Calvin Ridley heading into next season. What do we need to see from Treylon Burks? Is there a certain amount of yards and touchdowns we need to see, or is it more like an eye test thing of, okay, this guy is starting to progress like we expected him to when we took him 16th overall?
Well, first, he needs to stay on the field. He has to be available to be able to get a true assessment of what type of player he is or can be for this offense. So that's first and foremost. That's why when he went down, you know, the other day, I'm thinking like, oh, here we go again. This kid was having a really good camp, and then all of a sudden, you know, he gets injured. But luckily it was nothing but cramp, so he was back at practice the next day. So that's good. As far as, like, what we need to see from him moving forward, I just think you need to see consistency other than, you know, the availability. I think you need to see consistency in whatever role they, you know, sort of push him toward, or whatever role sort of materializes for him. We have to see that he's consistent at that role. Right now, you know, when D-Hop's down, so now he's elevated to that starting role now. And he's taken it, and he's ran with it. He's practiced really well. Now, practice and a game are two different things. He got in the first game of the season, first preseason game of the season, had a catch, and then they got him out of there. So those are the things you want to see. You want to see him in his next game, which I'm not sure is, will he play a lot? Will he not? Because you're going to have Malik Willis underneath center.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure having Treylon Burks out there with Malik Willis will benefit Treylon Burks in any way. So do you play Treylon in that game? I'm not sure. But what you want to see now that D-Hop is down, you want to see that consistency. You want to see him start to make plays. I think you've seen a bit of both. Now we have to see it more in games. And then ultimately, we got to see it in a regular season where they're going to need him. He's the one guy amongst that receiving core that if he pops the way that I believe he can, it changes the dynamics of that receiving room. Now it goes from a good receiving room, which I think it is. It's a good receiving room, but it has a lot of potential, to one of the best receiving rooms in the National Football League. But it's all predicated on, one, whether this offense can get going the way it needs to early on, and then, two, how Treylon Burks come on in his offense. What is his role in his offense? If he has a small role, then okay, the offense is just, it'll be a middle of the road offense, or in the middle of the NFL offense. But if he pops along with Calvin Ridley and these other guys, this can be a top 10 passing attack, especially with the backs in the backfield. And then obviously a lot predicated on the offensive line, but Treylon Burks is that one guy. And this, I know this is what they're hoping. He's that one guy that can take a good receiving core and elevate it to a elite, damn near an elite receiving core, which I think it can be. But he has to pop in order for that to happen, I believe.
If we get Arkansas Treylon Burks, I would think you'd be hard-pressed to find a top four group of receivers better than DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, Treylon.
Oh, they had the best in any. They would have the best four receivers in the NFL. Like,
yes,
guys that can go out there and flat out play. Like, you can just rotate these guys and you won't miss a beat. If he hits and those three guys continue to do what they've been doing, then this is one of the best receiving cores in the National Football League.
Make
as far as that top four.
Really easy for Will Levis. If you have those four guys out there, you've got your weapons in the backfield. And then, obviously, the question is with the tight ends, can Wiley or Chig step up? But Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan have, at the very least, done everything they can to get a good look at Will Levis this season. And Treylon Burks, I think, is a big part of that. If he is the, hey, DeAndre Hopkins needs to go to the sideline, Treylon Burks comes in. Calvin Ridley goes to the sideline. It's Treylon Burks. Tyler Boyd as well. It's like he's that. He's the fourth, but he's the number two at all three positions. Mm-hmm. I think that would be the best role for Treylon Burks because he is versatile.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. If his role is smaller than that, then I don't really know how good of a look we're going to get at Treylon Burks this year.
Yeah, because he's not going to get enough snaps. That's why Brian Callahan said, listen, Treylon is he has to play all positions. Why does a coach tell a guy that he needs to play all positions? Because they want to get him on the field.
Yep.
They believe in the talent that he has, and they want to get him on the field as quickly and as much as possible. So like you said, when D-Hop comes off, Treylon goes in. When Calvin comes off, Treylon goes in. When Boyd comes off, you hope Treylon can go in at certain moments in the game. But he's always that guy, that second guy up when one of those two guys on the outside are out of the game. He's the guy that you want to be able to insert in the game and not miss a beat.
And I think it's going to be really telling in that first game against Chicago. Is it a top three mm-hmm. and then everybody else at wide receiver, or is it a rotation of those four guys with NWI mixing in there too? How many snaps are they going to get? I think that's going to be one of the big takeaways from that first game in Chicago is the snap count for guys like Treylon Burks and NWI and those top three receivers on how they're used in this Brian Callahan offense. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call again. Get your questions in. Ask D-Mace is coming up at noon. Can't wait to hear from you there. Get those questions and the dad jokes in. It is Dad Joke Friday. When we come back, we'll keep this conversation going, talking about Treylon Burks and what this Titans wide receiver room might look like, not just this year, but going forward with some of those impending free agents. That's up next. Jake Lyman in for Willie Donick. Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
This camp felt different for you just because you've been through it already as a rookie, even through last year.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I would say it's felt different because I'm healthy. I'm able to just keep practicing. No injuries. I feel good. I'm in a great spot, and I'm just having fun. So
that was Treylon Burks talking to media yesterday, I believe, talking about what he's felt this training camp, why he's had success, and simple fact of it, he's been healthy. And we had a little scare on Wednesday where pulled up, grabbing the hamstring, worried that might be another joint practice injury for Treylon Burks 2 years in a row. But he was back out there yesterday and had some success. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason here on Willie and D-Mace. Texter on our text line, Callaway from Columbia, says he wants it to be known. He'll say it again. His bold prediction is Burks turns heads this year. And like we just said, if the Titans are going to have a really good offense this year, you got to have Treylon Burks being a part of that, whether that's coming off the bench or whether he steps up and takes a larger role from some of these other receivers.
Yeah, because, again, I look at it from the standpoint of, which player on this offense can significantly, or players that can significantly change how we look at the offense during the season. Obviously, we know the offensive line. If they block well, then that's half the battle right there.
Yeah.
You know, so if the offensive line does their job, we should see a better team than we saw, or a better offense than we saw last year, just based upon the offensive line doing their job the way they're supposed to do. But then you look at other players that could potentially, cause this offense. And not to say that if these players don't pop, this offense is going to be bad, but if they do, wow, look out. Guys like Treylon Burks, he's the first name to come to mind. Obviously, Tajay Spears is another, but for this conversation, we're talking about Treylon Burks and his impact or potential impact it can have on this team, and what do we expect from him moving forward. Because if he truly pops and assert himself as a guy that you see being a number one in your future, then it takes this offense that I think can be a good offense. It can take it from being just a good offense to a top 10 offense. Because if he pops, and it's not even talking about the tight ends because that's a whole different issue, but if he pops, it opens up the run game. Look at what they were able to do And granted, Derrick Henry was in the backfield, so that, you know, when you have him in the backfield, it really don't – who you have catching football sometimes really don't matter because the dude's just a beast.
Yep.
But the year, possibly 2 years, where this Tennessee Titans offense was really humming, where they were averaging 30 points a game, that 1 year when he went to the – what was it? Not the year they went to the AFC Championship, but the year after.
Yes. Well, the first year they won the division.
Exactly. The first year they won – that offense, I think, averaged damn near 30 points a game or close to it.
I think you're right. That was that Arthur Smith's first year as the offensive coordinator? No, second year. Because LaFleur was 2018.
Uh-huh.
And then Arthur took over 19-20.
20, yeah. So it was his second year. It was a 2020 year because 21 and 22 – well, 21 they had a good year, but 22 and 23 were the year they fell back.
Yes.
But – we saw how explosive an offense can be when you have a bona fide stud at receiver.
Yep.
I mean, a big, you know, physical guy they had in A.J. Brown. And you have a secondary receiver who was damn good and Corey Davis. They complemented one another. And then you had the tight end, Janu, who – just he was a nightmare for one-on-one coverage. That offense with Derrick Henry and those three guys were able to generate points at a high clip. They haven't had that since. And now it hadn't been like 10, 12 years. It's only been 3 years. But they haven't had that since. And they've been trying to recreate that. They should have never let it go. The minute they let Corey Davis go, I said that's a mistake.
Yep.
That is a big mistake. You pay the man his money, allow him to stay here, work him in with A.J. Brown. Those two can be a young tandem that can grow with any quarterback that you have here. But they chose to let one go, then they traded the other one the next following year. Now they're in a position where they got to rebuild that receiving core. It's a good core. But Traylon is A.J. Brown-esque. Big, physical, fast, get the ball in his hands very quickly, and he can run after the catch. That's what he does best, okay? So if we can get that from Traylon, if he pops, what that does for the offense is tremendous because now I got two backs in the backfield that can run the football too. Now we can go back to we can go to the play-action game if we want to. We can do a lot of things. Now we have four or maybe even five with Nick Westbrook-Kennan. We got five guys that can go out there and play. We don't have to sort of, well, if we miss this guy, our offense is going to slip back.
Yep.
No. Trailing hits. It helps everybody on that offense.
And Corey Davis, you mentioned, he's working out for the Bills this week, trying to make a comeback after he retired a few years ago.
Yeah, he retired. Now he's back.
But looking at you're right. That was the best we've seen this Titans offense probably in the Titans era, at least in the last 10 or 15 years.
Yes,
I think they had the highest points per game in the Titans era that year.
I think they did.
But Corey Davis, I understand he didn't live up to the hype of being the number five pick. But if you can get Corey Davis production out of Traylon Burks at this point, I think you'd be thrilled.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, Corey Davis, I think his that year, 2019, I think he was like 980-something yards.
And the only reason he didn't have 1,000
is
because he missed the game.
Yes.
That's because he missed the game. That's why he didn't have 1,000 yards.
I don't think Traylon Burks is going to have 1,000 yards this year because there's just so many other mouths to feed in this offense. But let's say next year, Titans don't extend DeAndre Hopkins, don't extend Tyler Boyd. And you go in with Calvin Ridley and Traylon Burks as your top two receivers. If you can get A.J. Brown production, 1,000-ish yards like he had in 2019 from Calvin Ridley, and you can get 800 to 900 yards from Traylon Burks, that can be enough with the other weapons they have, Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, and if the tight ends can start to figure something out. I think if you get Corey Davis production out of Traylon Burks, that makes him a very valuable asset to this offense.
Oh, that turns him into your 1B, you know, because obviously you pay Calvin Ridley and you anticipate on him having a good season. So he's going to remain your 1A. Then a guy like Traylon can now be solidified as the 1B. Now he can sort of fall into that place that D-Hop is in right now. And excel on it. The year was 2020. They averaged 30.7 points a game, almost 31 points a game. And that offense was humming. A lot of it had to do with Derrick Henry and his, you know, the Derrick Henry effect.
Yes.
But yet and still, they had Corey Davis on one side and they had A.J. Brown on the other, two young receivers that are growing together with the quarterback, and that could have still been the case, but they chose to go in another direction, and they've suffered every since. Now they're trying to sort of rebuild this receiving core, and they're doing a good job at you know, making that happen, but they understand that if this one guy hits, it can take our receiving core to another level. It could take our team from an offensive standpoint to another level.
And next year, if Burks doesn't show he's the guy, you kind of are left with Calvin Ridley doing the
by himself, really.
The Fresh Prince of Bel Air looking around the the room. Where is everybody
It'd
else?
It'd be him and Nick Westbrook-Akina.
Yeah, because NWI and Mason Kinsey will be the other two
exactly.
in the room. Because those guys just will never leave. They'll be here until 2080. Indy Ben on our text line says, Spoiler alert, if everyone's healthy, I have no doubt Hopkins leads the wide receivers in receptions and yards. Too many red flags with Ridley, Burks, and Boyd, in my opinion. I don't know about that. I think Calvin Ridley, I don't think these hiccups that we've seen the last couple of days are going to be permanent. I think eventually Levis and Ridley are going to get that timing down. They're going to figure it out. I would have a hard time betting against anybody but Calvin Ridley to lead the team in yards this year.
Yeah, me either. They pay, again, the only reason he doesn't lead this team in yardage. Now, I'm not sure. You may be right, Indy Ben, as far as receptions. That can go a myriad of ways. It could be Tyler Boyd. It could be D-Hop. It could be the tight ends. It could be the running backs. I don't know. But when you're talking about leading a team in receiving yards, he has to be the guy, Calvin Ridley. That's what you brought him in here for.
Paying him $24 million a year.
You brought him in here to be your number one guy to lead this aging receiving core, because that's what it is. It's an aging receiving core, and you're just hoping that Ridley comes in and he plays the way he has played when he was in Atlanta and the way he played last year with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's pretty much what they're getting. They're getting a 11 to 1300 yard guy, 8 touchdowns, about 80 something catches, if that.
Yep.
That's what they need from him to be the number one guy. Everybody else, hey, listen, if we get 1,000 yards from yard, that's great. It helps, but it's not a necessity. We got to get our number one guy, and then everybody else sort of falls in. Now, does he end up getting more catches than Ridley? Possibly.
Because of the type of the receiver.
Exactly.
That he is.
He's more of the grunt guy. He's more the guy that he's going to get you the tough yards.
3rd and 11.
Yeah,
exactly. You're looking for D-Hop.
Combat catches. He's great at that. One of the best in the NFL, if not the best, at combat catches. So he's the guy that you look to when it's 3rd and 8. When you look to it's on the goal line. You need a guy that you need that touchdown. He's the guy that you look for. But when you're out in the field, you need, you know, some yardage, some chunks. It's going to be Calvin Ridley, or either if Treylon Burks comes on, it's Treylon Burks.
Yeah, just like we saw in the preseason game on Saturday, Ridley is your yak guy.
Yes.
He's going to catch it, he's going to make somebody miss, and he's going to go. He's your deep threat, too. So, yes, he may have less catches, but the average per catch is going to be significantly higher for Calvin Ridley than a guy like DeAndre Hopkins or Tyler Boyd.
Like, for instance, before we go to break, the year Drew and I had that huge year together.
Yeah.
Drew had more yardage and touchdowns. I had more catches. He was more so of the deep threat. Big 6'5 guy. He can run. People didn't think he could run, but he gets up on you very fast, and you look like, oh, my goodness, this guy's by me. Great hands. He led the team in receiving yardage and touchdowns, but I led the team in reception. So that was sort of the yin and the yang. It can work like that here as well, where D-Hop is leading in receptions, but Calvin is leading in yardage and touchdowns.
And I think that's probably what we will see.
Exactly.
I don't think Calvin Ridley is going to have a 100-catch season, but he might have, like you said, 75, 80 catches and end up with 1,100, 1,200 yards, somewhere in there, just because of the big play ability that Calvin Ridley has. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Make sure to text or call right now. Ask D-Mace is coming up after this break. Call in with your questions, your dad jokes, everything. We've already got a few on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman in for Willie Donick today. Willie and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.